Good morning, everyone. Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 9, text 167 through to 174, which has a purport. So I'll read the first verses myself. Paramananda Puri had stayed at Rishabha Hill during the 4 months of the rainy season, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately went to see him. Upon meeting Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him all respects, touching his lotus feet, and Paramananda Puri embraced the Lord in ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with Paramananda Puri in the Brahmana's house, where he was residing. The two of them passed 3 days there discussing topics of Krishna. Paramananda Puri informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was going to see Purushottam at Jagannath Puri. After seeing Lord Jagannath there, he would go to Bengal to bathe in the Ganges. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told him, "Please return to Jagannath Puri, for I will return there very soon from Rameshwar, Setubandha. It is my desire to stay with you, and therefore if you would return to Jagannath Puri, you would show great mercy to me." After talking in this way with Paramananda Puri, the Lord took his permission to leave and very pleased departed for South India. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thus Paramananda Puri started for Jagannath Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began walking towards Sri Shaila. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks, which Sri Shaila is being indicated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not clearly understood. There is no temple of Mallikarjuna in this area because the Sri Shaila located in the district of Dwarwad cannot possibly be there. That Sri Shaila is on the southern side of Belgaum, and the Shiva temple of Mallikarjuna is located there. Refer to text 15 of this chapter. It is said that on that hill, Lord Shiva lived with Devi. Also, Lord Brahma lived there with all the demigods. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parachana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Vinishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled and those listening online, that I may say something relevant and hopefully beneficial. It's funny because Krishna's the super soul. We probably had all this experience that you need to hear something and then someone tells you what you need to hear, right? Because Krishna's in the hearts of everyone, so he will send a message to you through other people, right? Prabhupada once said, when I depart, I will still be present, just hear me through the words of others. Yeah. So Prabhupada was given, said to his disciples, I will instruct you through others. See, so I'm hoping that maybe something I might say today might affect someone by the mercy of the Super Soul. But if it happens, I won't know. But you'll know if it happens. But it happens to all of us at some point. Haribo. Sometimes it happens even through non-devotees. And Prabhupada, he took instructions from non-devotees. One time he was selling the Back to Godhead magazine and someone said to him, you should make it a book, because people throw away magazines, but they don't throw away books. So Prabhupada took it seriously. And there was once a doctor, and he said, Prabhupada had a heart attack, and the doctor said, the Swami, he prays too much. He should get exercise. So Prabhupada started his morning walk from then on. He was getting a little bit of exercise for his heart, and he would obviously combine it with japa and very lively morning conversations, which are mainly recorded, so we have the benefit of that, you see. So we should listen. Everything, even nature has its lessons, you know. We have the Avanti Brahmana, he's living in the forest, and he takes lessons from so many personalities, like the bee, like the lessons from water. Water is very purifying, the sound is very beautiful, just like the sadhus, the words of the sadhus, you see. So from nature we can take lessons as well, you see. So let's discuss what's going on here. Now, the sannyas order is divided into different categories, kutichaka, bahudaka, parivrajak, and hangsa. I, kutichaka, someone who lives in the house, still gets fed by his relatives, but he's sannyasi. Bahudaka, he goes to the bathing ghat to get food. Parivrajakacharya, a bit more renounced, just wanders everywhere and doesn't necessarily go wherever there's food, just goes for preaching. This is Lord Chaitanya, he's wandering everywhere. The word for wandering is braj. If you wander all around, it's paribraj. Paribraj means he's going here, there, and everywhere. And this is the particular part of his life where he's going through South India and he's converting people. And he's defeating false philosophies, converting people to Vaishnavism. He's also converting Vaishnavs to higher grade Vaishnavs, so to speak. In this particular chapter, there's a story of a Vaishnava who was very much attached to the name of Ram, and just by the association of Lord Chaitanya, he became very much attached to the name of Krishna. So this is Parivrajak. And in Hangsa, it's also called Ajagara Vritti, the occupation of the python. Just stay in one spot, and just whatever food comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's how the python eats. Python doesn't make an effort to get food, it just waits. And then when food comes by, it catches the food, you see. So if you see, I mean, I'm using my own reflection here. It seems to me that when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, one of the first considerations was his mother, Sachimata, so he chose to go to Jagannath Puri because it would be near Navadvip. He's thinking very much of his family. Then he's wandering, Parivrajak, and then he ends up in the Gambira, and he's just in another world. He's very internally absorbed. So you could almost compare Lord Chaitanya's sannyas to the various levels of the sannyas order. It's just my own reflection. So if you don't like it, then don't blame me. I'm not claiming it's the truth, but that's just how I look at it. So it's quite interesting that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he's famous for his great knowledge, and here he's saying which Sri Saila has been indicated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not clearly understood. That's interesting, because if our great acharyas, they're not clear on various aspects of the scripture, then what chance do we have, right? What chance do we have to know the scripture? Scriptures, it's unlimited. There are so many aspects to it. What's quite interesting, the BBT, you know, when they were making the purports, there's many purports where Srila Prabhupada is explaining how to get to certain places of pilgrimage. And you'll see if you go along this line, there's a station there, and if you walk this way and that way. apparently, if you follow these instructions, often you don't actually end up anywhere significant. So it's kind of a bit of a mystery. But Prabhupada, he was very keen that these certain passages were there because it gives authenticity to our tradition. It's got an historical authenticity. Therefore, we can actually say places are in particular areas. So there's a little mystery there as to why some of the instructions don't quite add up. You know, we don't know, not sure what's going on there. But ultimately, you know, this scripture, Prabhupada once said, I've written all these books, it's just word jugglery to get you chant Hare Krishna. So there's a lovely badge in Kevalashtakam, and it says, Abrahma stamba paryantam, sarvamaya mayam jagat, satcham satcham puna satcham, harinama eva kevalam. It said, from Brahma down to the braid of grass, everything in this material world is simply illusion. There is only one truth. What's that one truth? Hari Nama Eva Kevalam, the holy names, you see. And then yesterday was quite a holy name packed day for me. I made an effort. Went to Bletchley Carnival. It was absolutely soaking rain, but anyway, we managed to do most of the Rath cart before the heavens opened and it flooded down. But we carried on doing a sit-down kirtan and a stand-up kirtan in our tent, which is in Bletchley Park. And that was really ecstatic because we do this every year. And because it's a big carnival, there's so many other people coming, and then the devotees, they distribute so many plates of prasadam. So that was ecstatic. And then in the evening, went on Harinam in central London, and once again the heavens opened and it was a flood of rain, and this was a really torrential rain. And it was an absolutely ecstatic Harinam. There was all this, members of the public were going round and round in circles. And people were watching and going, what is this? Is this a rain dance or something? It's like, but you couldn't believe it, that the enthusiasm of the members of the public. And so it's just like taking you off the bodily platform. Everyone's so absorbed in this chanting that it doesn't matter that you're getting soaking wet. And a lot of people weren't dressed for it. I kind of checked the weather forecast, so I had a coat that could withstand the rain, but some of the devotees, they were just wearing, you know, just wearing a kurta, and they were completely drenched, but it was totally ecstatic. So this is like what Krishna consciousness really is. So Mahaprabhu, he's traveling. What's his business? This chapter explains he's coming to defeat false philosophies. Every chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita has a verse in Sanskrit. I mean, there's different languages. There's a few Prakrit verses. I think there's a few Aryan verses. Most of the verses are in Bengali. But there are also these Sanskrit verses which are composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which summarize each chapter. This particular chapter, the summary verse is explaining how he came to defeat the crocodile-like false philosophies. So this is very important. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he said, if your philosophy is wrong, your mood will not be correct. So one may think we're not really interested in philosophy because we're interested in love, and love's about a mood. But he's explaining, if the philosophy is wrong, it's going to impede the mood. So if you want to enter into deep relationship with Krishna, you have to have the right philosophy. So the Buddhists, the Jains, etc., there's many benefits to these philosophies, but Mahaprabhu came, he actually defeated them. He defeated the Buddhists, and then the Buddhists tried to poison him. And then this bird came and picked up the plate, and it dropped the plate on the head of the Buddhist, head Buddhist, and he fell unconscious. And then Lord Chaitanya chanted Krishna in his ear, and he revived his consciousness. And that way the Buddhists were converted. And many of the Shaivites were converted. So when I was looking at this, preparing for this class, I was thinking there's not so much to say on this purport and what's really going on. There's Paramananda Puri, and there's a mention of a Shiva temple. So I looked into this chapter and I discovered that there's about 10 or 11 Shiva temples that Lord Chaitanya visits just in this one chapter. It's quite amazing. There's so many Shiva temples, and he was going there and he was converting them into Vaishnavas, you see. So it's mentioned here, Mallika Arjuna. So that's a place, obviously I don't know the exact location, but it says there's a Shiva temple there. And I gave class a couple of months ago and I explained that Srila Prabhupada, he taught us how to respect demigods. So when you go into a demigod temple, you offer obeisances with the demigod on your right-hand side. And it's understood that Krishna and Guru is on your left-hand side. Obviously, when we offer our obeisance to Prabhupada and to the deities, we keep them on our left-hand side. So the idea is we're respecting the demigods, but we're understanding that they are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then in the introduction to one of the chapters in Adi Lila, Srila Prabhupada explains why Lord Chaitanya, who's come to teach Vaishnavism, why is he offering obeisances to Lord Shiva and the temples of Lord Shiva? Because he's setting an example. And Prabhupada explains it's because Vaishnavas are not impudent. That was his answer. Meaning they give respect to the demigods. We know Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. The greatest Vaishnava is Lord Shiva. So we should be clear about what we're doing when we offer obeisances to demigods. Otherwise we become confused. We should be wholeheartedly, every minute of the day, we should be engaged in devotional service. So when you offer obeisances to the demigods, you should understand that you're actually performing pure devotional service because you understand that they are devotees of Krishna. And if you have this clear understanding, then you won't be confused inside your head. You'll be thinking, why am I doing this? No, everything we do, we should be clear about why we're doing it, because Nayam Kaled Akilamit Pupadesha Saram, the essence of all instruction is 24 hours a day, think of Krishna. Yeah? Braji Tishtan, live in Braj, Tadanuragi Jananugami, and follow the residents of Vrindavan. This is the important instruction of Rupa Goswami. We should be 24 hours a day engaged in Krishna service. So we have no time for this, let's get a balance between material and spiritual life. People say this? You heard this, right? That's how we talk about it now. When Srila Prabhupada was here, that wasn't the way devotees spoke. They said, just to give this one life to Krishna. I mentioned this before, and then it became, after a while, it was like, just give a few years to Krishna. Now we don't even tell people to do that. We say, oh, just live in your home, have a job, and then chant Hare Krishna on the side. That's really good enough. That's not good enough. We want to be 24 hours a day engaged in Krishna's service. Now, I sometimes go on YouTube, and I'm not engaged in Krishna service, I confess. But I always get these adverts coming up. And one of them is this, he's a currency trader. I don't know if you get the same advert as him. I don't know, he's very artistic. He's got so many different videos. But he says, you know, if you're paid per hour, then you realize that there's only so many hours in the day. So, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. He makes the point, if you're paid per hour and there's only so many hours in the day, then there's a limit to how much you can earn. So you have to find better ways to make money. So I was thinking it's the same for devotional service. Because there's only 24 hours in the day, if you're able to engage 24 hours in the service of Krishna, then you think to yourself, well, that's it. I can't go any more than that. But you can, because there's the quality of your service. You can engage in 2 hours of concentrated quality japa, or you can engage in 2 hours of spaced out japa. It's the same 2 hours, it's just a matter of how much you spend your time concentrating and making it a quality 2 hours. So there's a sense in which I could claim that yesterday I spent 24 hours in Krishna service. Not really, but I almost did, because I woke up the deities at 3 o'clock, I did 4 hours pujari service, and then I did 2 harinams, so I didn't really have any time to space out. I mean, I fell asleep twice. Once in Bletchley, I was half asleep because Sadashiva was chanting and I was just lying there because I had to have a rest. But I was lying there and I was hearing the Mahamantra, so it was kind of a nice, it wasn't really a proper sleep, it was like a kind of half spiritual sleep, so I was very happy with that. He criticized me, he goes, oh, did I send you to sleep with my chanting? And I said to him, no, to be in all honesty, I was listening to the mantra, I just was too tired to do anything, I just had to lie there and just kind of recover a bit, you know. But anyway, so I could claim that I spent 24 hours in Krishna service, but actually I know my own consciousness, and so much of that time I'm having other thoughts which are nothing at all connected with Krishna. So I confess that I'm not at all engaged 24 hours in Krishna service. Maybe the body was engaged in deity worship, but what was I thinking at the time? I was thinking about earning a living and doing other stuff. Not very pure thoughts, you see. And this is the problem, karmendriyane samyamya. Bhagavad Gita says you can engage your working senses in Krishna's service, But if your mind is thinking of other things, then michachara sa uchate, you're false, you're a fake, you see? So I confess what's going on in here and what's going on externally, they're two different things, you know? And maybe I'm the same, maybe you're the same as me, I don't know. We have this problem, the mind starts wandering. It's like this, when I was reflecting, what's happening here, Lord Chaitanya, as soon as he hears that Paramananda Puri is present in a particular place, he wants to spend time with him. Why is that? It's because it's Sadhu Sangha. Lord Chaitanya is teaching us the importance of Sadhu Sangha. It said, Krishna Bhakti Janmamula Hoi Sadhu Sangha. Krishna Prema Janmi Teho Punar Mukhya Anga. Lord Chaitanya teaches Sanatana Goswami, the root cause of Krishna Bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. And when we have Sadhu Sangha, even when we attain the platform of perfection, it's still essential. Prabhupada quote, the term used is Mukhya Anga, which means it's a primary limb. And Prabhupada translates it as essential. So Sadhu Sangha is essential. Now Paramananda Puri, who is he? He's a Nitya Siddha. Who is he in Krishna's Leela? Anyone know? Uddhava, thank you, Srinivas Prabhu. Paramananda Puri is Uddhava. He's an eternal resident. He's a Dwarkavasi, eternal resident of Dwarka. It's interesting how there's so many very important personalities in Chaitanya Leela whose their sthayi bhav is to be in Aishwarya, relationship with the Lord in Aishwarya. We can maybe talk about them later. So Paramananda Puri, who's Uddhava? So there's no need for a Nitya Siddha like Uddhava and Lord Chaitanya to have any discussion. Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of a devotee, but even then, just this is what you do in the spiritual world. There's association, and association is eternally blissful because even though everyone has Krishna Prema, it's ever increasing, you see. So one of the lessons we should learn from this particular incident is the importance of Sadhu Sangha. Now there's some lovely verses that give the importance of Sadhu Sangha. There's one in the pastime of the cursing of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. That's in the 10th canto. It said, Sadhunam Samachitanam Sutaram Matkrinat Maha Darshanan no Baved Bandah Pumshukshno Satvaturyata. That just as darkness is destroyed when the sun appears, in the same way, bondage is destroyed when we have darshan of a sadhu. See the power of a moment's association. So what's that famous verse? We can all say it together. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastrikoi, labha matra sadhu sanghi, sarva siddhi hoi. Just have that moment's association with the sadhu, then it completely changes our life. It changes the direction of our life, and we ultimately attain Krishna Prema. Just from that moment's association, it sows a seed in the heart, which ultimately fructifies as pure devotional service. So this was, Narad Muni cursed Manigriva and Alakuvara to become the Yamala Arjuna trees. So obviously Parikshit Maharaj is a bit curious, why would Narad Muni, who's very saintly, curse someone? Because generally we think of cursing as something that an angry person does. But actually, the point being made here is the curse is actually a blessing, because through that curse, they got to have darshan with Krishna. Of course, they were confined to the bodies of trees for a long period of time, but what's a long period of time when you get Krishna's darshan at the end of it? It's a worthwhile wait. And that was a suitable punishment because they were exposing themselves. They were shamelessly enjoying with women in the water while Narad Muni was passing by. Didn't show proper respect, you see. Another example is when Garga Muni comes for the name-giving ceremony of Krishna, he goes to the house of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj glorifies him. Mahat vichalinam rinam grihinam dina chetasam. Where's it go again? Nishriyasaya kalpati. No, Nishriyasaya Bhagavan. Nanyatya kvachit. Kalpati nanyata kvachit. He says, the wanderings, this is Nanda speaking to Garga Muni, the wanderings of great souls. is for no purpose other than to benefit the fallen householders. You see? So this is an insight into the consciousness of great souls. See, we have this concept, or we have this goal, Krishna Prema. So what happens when you attain Krishna Prema? There's nothing to do. You know, it's like, everything we do, like if we move somewhere, it's for a purpose. We get out of bed, it's, oh, I have to earn a living. We move because, oh, it's too hot there. We move country, we go on a holiday to experience something. Everything's about happiness and distress. We're living in the world of duality. But what happens if you have Krishna Prema, if you're pure love of God, then it doesn't matter where you are. Narayana para savina kutashtana bhupati svagapavarga narakesh apitoya tadarshana. When Chitraketu Maharaj, he's an example of the self-realized soul. So when Parvati curses him, he just smiles. He's totally unaffected. And she's astonished. Lord Shiva glorifies Chitraketu and says, Narayana sava, Narayana para sarve nakutashtana bhupati. For the pure devotees, there's no fear. They can go to hell. Apituya to darshana, their vision is equal. So Prabhupada gives the example of the rice husking machine. He says devotees, you know, their business is devotional service. So if you've got a rice husking machine, if you take that machine to hell, it will do the same thing. It will husk the rice. That's what the machine does. Same way, devotees are not interested about where they are in this material world. They're happy to go to hell if it means serving the guru. Serve Guru and Krishna, I'm happy to go to hell, right? We should have this attitude. So Chitraketu, he's like this. He's just equipoised. And Parvati's stunned because she's cursed him and he's just not bothered whatsoever. You see? So this is an example. So this is the nature of the saintly person. And it's also said, Sago dohana matramhe griheshu grihamedinam avekshati mahabhavax bhagas tirtakurvang tadashramam. Sugadev Goswami would only stay at the house of a householder as long as it took to milk a cow. And he would tirtakurvan, mean he would sanctify that ashram. So this is what the sadhus do when they're wandering. And Mahaprabhu, he's given this example. He's going and visiting different personalities and liberating them. We have the wind is very strong. Something else. Oh, it's a vacuum cleaner or something. There's something going on in the pajama department. Eh? A leaf blower outside, thank you very much. We're blowing away the leaves. So anyway, so the whole purpose, there's all these examples that the sadhus, they're walking places of pilgrimage. Bhavadvida Bhagavata, Tirtha Kurvan. Tirtha Kurvan, Tirtha Buddha Svayambhavo, Tirtha Kurvan Ti Tirthani, Svantaste Nagatabrata. Because they carry Krishna in their hearts, they purify wherever they go, you see. Another example, this is Yudhisthira and Vidura conversation. So this is the wonderful nature of the sadhu. Let me think. It's past. What time do we go until? Sunday class, 9:00. Okay, I've still got some more time. I'll actually pause there and I'll ask, has anyone got any comments or questions so far? Then I'll go on if not. Prabhuji. Okay, we'll get the microphone, but this time I'll just speak it. Elaborate on the nature of sadhu sangha. So it said there's two Bhagavatas. Eka Bhagavata Bada, Bhagavata Shastra, Ar Bhagavata Bhakta, Bhakti Rasa Patra. The first Bhagavat is the Shastra, it's called Bada Bhagavat, and the second one is Bhakti Rasa Patra. So Patra means the container, Bhakti Rasa means has rasa, devotional service within the heart. So sadhu sangha, what it really means is we're actually associating with people who have love of Krishna within their hearts. Now, even if someone's not a pure devotee, if the intention may be pure, in that sense they may be pure, so there's still that type of sadhu sangha. But the highest type of sadhu sangha is associating with someone who has pure love of Krishna. And that person brings the shastra to light. One time, Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked, at the time he was Bimal Prasad, he asked his guru, sorry, now I've got the wrong way around, it was his guru. His guru asked him, what is in the Bhagavatam? Because Gaurakishordas Babaji is illiterate. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he laughed and he said, Everything I read in the Shastra is personified in you. You're like the walking Shastra. That's what Sadhu Sangha really means. Sadhu Sangha means someone who can actually bring the Shastra to light, to life. Someone who's the walking example. And it's all about Krishna. Sadhu Sangha means we're only talking about Krishna. When we associate and we're only referring to Krishna consciousness, that is real Sadhu Sangha. And it's said, you know, Yatra Gayanti Madbhakta Tatra Tishta Me Narada. Wherever my devotees are talking about me, I am present. So Sadhu Sangha means there's at least three people. Two sadhus and Krishna, at least. And of course you have all the parampara as well. You know, they said that, there's one interesting, when Haridas Thakur was chanting japa, there's one phrase used, it's called Sankirtan. He was alone, and I was thinking, how is it Sankirtan if he's alone? But I was thinking, no, but whenever, if you're chanting Krishna, if you're chanting purely, then you're in the spiritual world, and there's all this association with all the pure devotees of Krishna. So if you're chanting japa, you're never alone, if you're chanting quality japa. Anyway, but I'll just remember what I wanted to talk about, because Tarun Krishna Prabhu, he was giving class yesterday, and someone was asking about what mood we should have, and maybe we can have, maybe we can be a devotee of Lord Narayan, and how does it work, because Mahaprabhu's come to give, you know, anarpita charin chirat karuna avatar, kalau samarpitam unnata ujvala rasam sabhakti shriyam. He's given the unnata ujvala rasa, which means the very highest conjugal mellow. Ujvala means blazing. This rasa is so powerful, it's considered like burning. It's also called madhurya rasa because it's very sweet. But unnata ujvala means it's the very highest level. So Mahaprabhu is coming to give something so high. Does that mean we all have to be in that particular mood? Or is it that, like Murari Gupta, he's a devotee of Lord Ram, you know, Anupam, you know, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, he's in the mood of Lord Ram as well, devotee of Lord Ram. So how does it work? This discussion comes up a lot. And I was reflecting, Mahaprabhu, some of his most intimate associates, they're actually in Aishwarya Ras. Now, Paramananda Puri is Uddhava, he's a Dvarkavasi, so there's one example. But what's interesting is when you look at Uddhava's role in Krishna's pastime, he's going to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis. He gets some of the most highest bhavs, the highest moods in the Bhagavatam are in the chapters where Uddhava visits the residence of Vrindavan. So he's in Aishwarya Ras, but he's getting a lesson in some of the most intimate feelings of separation of the Brajbasis. And it's said that this is Krishna's mercy upon him. It said, Uddhava Bodhisattva. He's the most intelligent. Now, there's so many Dvarkavasis. How many? Millions. One of them is singled out as Uddhava. He's the personal advisor to Krishna. He's so intelligent. He's a disciple of Brihaspati. He's very Shastric. And dare I say, he's a little bit proud of his position. At least that's what the Acharyas say. So, Krishna wants to teach him something even higher. So he goes, gives a message to Uddhava. Uddhava goes to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis. And Uddhava is astonished. He's absolutely astonished with their love. And they're simple village people, the gopis, they're simple village people. They respect and worship Uddhava. But Uddhava knows, these gopis are just so much higher than me in their love for Krishna. So he got this wonderful lesson. So if he's getting that lesson and he's in Aishwarya Ras, then what does it mean? It means being in a particular rasa doesn't mean you can't experience the other ones. The spiritual world is very flexible. You're a devotee. If you're a pure devotee in one rasa, then you have access to other rasas. You have that understanding, you know. We have the example of Srivas Thakur. So he's the main member of the Panchatattva. But who's he? He's Narad Muni. Once again, Narad Muni's in this Aishwarya mood. You have the amusing pastime, Hera Panchami, when Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple, and after 5 days, the servants of Lakshmi, they come with sticks, and they come and they're coming to bring back Jagannath. They're not happy. The Gundicha temple represents Vrindavan, and the Jagannath Puri temple represents the Aishwarya mood. So the servants of Lord Jagannath, they're very unhappy that Jagannath's outside of the temple. He's gone to Gundicha, and they come with sticks to try and bring him back. So there's a conversation between Swarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur, he's in the mood of Aishvarya because he's Narad Muni. That's his mood. That's his Staibhav. And Swarup Damodar, he's Lalita. So he's got that mood as well, mood of Vrindavan. So Swarup Damodar is having fun with Srivas. Because Srivas is thinking, well, you know, the opulence of Vaikuntha, it's so supreme. It's better than this Vrindavan forest. Right? He's thinking this way. And Swarup Damodar, he says, you don't understand, you know, you don't understand Vrindavan. Vrindavan is more opulent than Vaikuntha. And he gives three examples. Anyone know the three examples? What are the three opulences that he mentions of Vrindavan? The Kalpavriksha, yeah. The Chantamani Dems, and? Yes. Wish-fulfilling cows. So the opulence there, you've got cows, wish-fulfilling cows, anything you want, just you got it straight away. Same with the desire trees. And in the stone, the houses, they're made of Chintamani. It's touchstone, you see. So the opulence of Vrindavan is even more greater than that of Vaikuntha. But we don't think about it. Why? Because the sweetness is so dominating. It predominates. It masks the opulence there, you see. So that's the thing. After hearing that, why would you want to go anywhere else other than Vrindavan? Arajo Bhagavam Brajesha Tanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. The land of Vrindavan is worshipable just as Krishna is, you see. So these are some things to consider, you know. So yeah. Any other examples? I mean, Paramananda Puri, his relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interesting because he's like paternal, it said. He has this paternal affection for the Lord. But why would he? Why would he be like a father? There's actually a particular reason. Does anyone know? It's to do with his guru. Who is the guru of Paramananda Puri? It's actually Madhavendra Puri. So that means that Paramananda Puri is the godbrother of Ishvara Puri, who is the guru of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, he's very respectful, it's etiquette, very respectful to the godbrothers of one's spiritual master. This is a lesson for us all. In fact, Mahaprabhu was so respectful that he even respected Ramachandra Puri, who was very critical, and the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were feeling great pain because this Ramachandra Puri was like, he was like spoiling the whole mood. He was criticizing Lord Chaitanya for eating too much sweetmeat. And Lord Chaitanya wasn't chastising him because he's been respectful. He's like, okay, I'll reduce my eating because it's the godbrother of his spiritual master. You see? So there's a very important etiquette. So Paramananda Puri, he's so significant that it's said that Mahaprabhu said, just in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he said, I'm staying here because of Swarup Damodar and Paramananda Puri. That was their example. It's like Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was towards the end of his pastime. He was going to leave his body. His body was so frail. But he stayed a bit longer. Why? Because of the love his disciples had for him. And that was keeping him on the planet. So the same way Lord Chaitanya, he said, the example of Swarup Damodar and Paramananda Puri, that's what's keeping me here. So just think how significant this Paramananda Puri is. And we don't know so much about him. Now he's one of the roots. It's described that the Sampradaya coming from Lord Chaitanya is like a tree. In fact, Mahaprabhu is said to be the trunk of the tree and the tree itself and the gardener. So the analogy is kind of, he's all things. But this tree has nine roots. One of those, these nine roots are nine sannyasis, followers of Lord Chaitanya. And the central root is Paramananda Puri. So we have him as Uddhava. Uddhava has a very central role in Krishna's pastime. If you read the 11th canto, nearly the whole canto, from about chapter 6 to about the third last chapter, is the Uddhava Gita. It's a comparison to the Bhagavad Gita. It's very similar in many ways. Many verses are similar. That was the final instructions that Krishna gave before he left the planet. And he told Uddhava to go to Badrika Ashram after that. So this Uddhava Gita, this is very deep. It's actually said to be if you can do a comparison between the Bhagavad Gita and the Uddhava Gita, it's said the Uddhava Gita is considered to be even higher than the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very amazing scripture. Well, it's the bulk of the 11th canto. So if you've not read it, how about reading that? Some people read Bhagavad Gita regularly. Some people have read it more than 100 times. How about reading the Uddhava Gita? Get a different angle. And you'll see that some of the analogies are different, you know, of wielders of weapons, I am Lord Ram, in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Uddhava Gita, wielders of weapons, I am Shiva. Shiva's got his bow. Shiva's bow is very powerful. He's a very powerful bowman, you see. Some of the analogies are different. Of purifiers, I'm wind. There's a different answer in the Uddhava Gita. I was noticing when I was studying the Uddhava Gita. So this is Paramananda Puri. And we don't know so much about him, but he's just such an exalted personality that he is like the central root of the tree that is our Sampradaya. And of course, ISKCON is one of the branches, Prabhupada says, like that. So yeah, the glories of Paramananda Puri. Okay, so we have any more questions or comments? Prayojana Prabhu, and then we have Tarun Prabhu and Brindavan Chandra. Thank you all.
Reference to the Bhagavad Gita. It's in the seed verses. He says, "Machita magata prana buddhyanti parasparam kachantis cha mamnichas tusyanti cha ramanti cha." Then he says, "Sorry, I'm not used to this." "The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me." And that's thing I notice there. They're always enlightening one another. In other words, it's expanding all the time with their discussions.
Yes.
It's an amazing verse.
Thank you for reminding me, because I was going to mention that in the class. As I said at the beginning of the class, hopefully I'll say something that resonates with you, and you've just said something that resonates with me. Because I was meaning to actually talk about this verse. In the purport, it describes how the association is. He said, for neophyte devotees, the association is the devotees discuss the ecstasy of their service. And then in the mature phase, devotees have pure love of God, and their association is based on pure love of God. So, for me, this is a very humbling verse, because I have to confess I don't spend much time talking about my service with others and feeling ecstasy. It's like my mind is elsewhere. So I can count myself as not even on the beginning platform in that sense. So it's like I had beginner's enthusiasm in devotional service, you know. First few years, I was kind of really ecstatic, and I was living in an ashram, and I didn't have a job, wasn't married, didn't have other distractions, and it was really, that was my life, you know. And I could remember, you know, the cup of hot milk and the reading of Krishna book in the evenings after a day as a brahmachari. And that's like the real nectar. But sometimes we become covered and we forget that experience, you know, we forget what it's like, and then we start having other thoughts, and then we become critical and all sorts of stuff. Other stuff creeps in. So that's not real devotee association. Devotee association, we have ecstasy in our service in the beginning, and then later on we develop pure love of God. So thank you for reminding me about this seed sloka, about the nectar of devotee association. Jai. Tarun Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai.
I try to kind of blend many aspects into one. We know what Mahamantra means.
Yeah.
You're asking Krishna, you're asking Radharani to be engaged in service.
Yes.
But then on the way, we kind of, you know, let's say our Swarupa or whatever is inclination is to worship something else. Like anyway, even Lord Chaitanya was initiated by Gopal mantra, not by Maha mantra. So it's interesting that, or we have many examples of associates of Lord Chaitanya who were different devotees of different avatars. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, that means at some point you start to, let's say you are attracted to Nishingadev, mm-hmm. and you join and you chant Maha Mantra.
Like Sridhar Swami.
Yeah, will that kind of interact with your desire to worship Nishingadev, Maha Mantra? That's one aspect of the question. Another is, like, Lord Chaitanya was, even when he would meet devotees, Vaishnavas, his tendency is to tell them, Radha Krishna, that's the highest. Mm-hmm. Like, constantly, even some of his associates, he wanted to convert them, although this is not their swarup. It's interesting way that he wanted to kind of, like sectarianism almost.
Yeah.
Maybe Radha Krishna. No, it's for this. Even last story about, Gopal Bhatta, Goswami's father.
In Katabat,
give them this. No. So, in interest, if our swarup is something else, that only will our to chanting or something else, or they are.
I mean, even if you're a devotee of some other avatar, you'd still be chanting the Maha Mantra, right? So it's the mantra for the age. Contains all the other one. What's interesting, I noticed, once reading the commentary on the verse, Anya Bilasita Sunyam Jnana Karma Jinadutam Anokoyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Rutama. Krishna Anushilanam means service to Krishna and all the avatars. So I was thinking that's an interesting Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service. It includes devotion to, Lord Ram, Lord Narsingha. Yes. Yeah, but it's funny that amongst pure devotees, because we're in the material world, we can sometimes get a little bit, we misunderstand things. We think it's like unpalatable to hear something that's not your mood, but that's not the mood of the pure devotees. See, you're a devotee of Lord Narayan, like for example Narad Muni, so he's blissed out with all the Radha Krishna pastime because he's enjoying that as well. So it's kind of like, and the same with the Goswamis, they're trying to convert Anupam, but he's still going to be a Ram Bhakta. But it's like, it's really enlivening and humorous that they can see that he's never going to deviate, so to speak, from, or depart. His consciousness will never be distracted from Lord Ram's lotus feet. So it's kind of like, bravo. It's like, it's really ecstatic to see someone's devotion like that, But because we're not necessarily pure devotees ourselves, we sometimes get confused and like, well, what's going on there? And, should we be trying to convert them or not? Because we're seeing it as like, it's almost like unpalatable. But there's nothing unpalatable about that, about all these exchanges. They're just like rasa. And as I say, that if you're in pure love of God, then you have access to all the different moods. I mean, there's obviously, you maybe not deeply go into certain moods. It said one of the thing, the Shantaras is like a crystal. It reflects. So those in Shantaras, now we consider Shantaras the lowest of all the rasas. But one in Shantaras, you reflect whatever mood you're with, your associate is with. So someone in Shantaras, if that person associates with the gopis, they go into Madhurya Ras. They associate with Mother Yashoda, they're in Vatsalya Ras, etc. So it's like, and that's the quote-unquote lowest rasa. So if the lowest rasa has access to all the rasas, then where's the problem? It's like we're kind of looking at it from a materialistic perspective,
Just give me these wonderful thoughts. I was kind of thinking, like, in one sense, for us, you become spiritual, not in the sense of new age, but spiritual means you're totally ecstatic. There's no fixed, carved in the stones, Svarupa, and that's it.
Okay.
You understand all avataras. There's some attraction particular to something.
That's Shantaras.
You're absolutely in ecstasy with all avataras. And as you said, you go everywhere. to gain nectar. But
then there are those that
say Swarupa is not something fixed.
Yeah.
Then well, yeah, you're just above this border of understanding somewhere. Like that's a spirituality, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you think that's the highest, but then that's Shanta, which is the quote unquote lowest. And then from there, you can just choose. You can go into one of the particular moods more deeply. Vrindavan Chandrabhu, Haribol.
Hare Krishna.
Haribol.
Thank you very much for the inspiring class. There's one thing you said about the verse caught my attention, and that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's immediate desire to go and see Paramananda Puri.
Mm.
And you said about how, you know, when there's a sadhu, we should also like have that desire.
Yes.
So, from a practical sense in our lives, there's many sadhus. And I was thinking about how we associate. I mean, in my own life, that takes the form if there's a sadhu to come and listen to the class and hear from them. I'm not sure if you'd like to share what else we can do, because the opportunity for to sit down with these sadhus and discuss is not so much there in ISKCON.
Interesting question. Yeah. I mean, I spoke to a devotee and I said to him, you know, he glorified me, and I said to him, to be honest with you, I'm having this problem and inspiration, etc., etc. And he said to me, are you associating with advanced devotees? And I said to him, no. I said to him, I could probably list maybe 10 devotees I would really like to associate with, but I can't associate with any of them because most of them have got lots of disciples, they're very busy, and I have no opportunity to associate with them. So it's kind of like a problem in a sense. But I mean, Prabhupada, it wasn't a problem for Prabhupada. He said, well, just associate with my disciples and you get it, you'll be guided by Krishna. There's even a purport in the Bhagavad Gita where he says, even if you don't take advantage of the association of the spiritual master, if you engage in service, then Krishna will enlighten you within the heart. So we have to accept ahoy to ki. It's causeless. There's no obstacle. If we're not getting that service, then it means we don't really want it, isn't it? If we're not getting that opportunity, it means we don't want it. If we're actually qualified, Krishna will provide within the heart, or you'll get the... There's a Jivi Shaksha Nahi Tati Guru Chicharupi, Krishna. Krishna Swarup Hoi Mahant Swarup. Anyway, in this verse in the Adi Lila, the Chaitra Guru cannot be accessed directly, therefore Krishna, Shiksha Guru Hoi Krishna Mahant Swarup or something. Therefore he comes as the Shiksha Guru to before us, like that. So I think if you ask this question to Ruben, he'd say, well, you just have to like want it. It's all about crying for the association of the advanced devotees. And if you're sincere, then Krishna will arrange for that to happen, right? Isn't it? I mean, but yeah, I think that's... I very much feel that in our society, you know, we have so many... There are many advanced devotees whose time... Lots of people would like to spend time with them, but there's just limits to how that can happen. So we should... like what Vishwambar says, we should learn to love who we see. His idea is that, because people they sometimes have this concept like, I want to associate with a pure devotee, but I don't know where he is, and he's hidden, and he's going to give me prema, and then the people around me, well, they're not so good, you know, they kind of that mood. That's not helpful for a devotional service. There's one Prabhupada quote where he says, if you start distinguishing higher and lower devotee, then you're a nonsense. So the idea was, we have to have this kind of devotees are special, you know. So maybe that's the solution. We have to see the devotees that we associate with and see them as being special, and then that will activate the certain thing. I used to, one that I find amazing, Prabhupada used to go into trance hearing his disciples chanting. There's examples. He would go into trance. There's one example, I can't remember. There's so many. There's a couple of examples I can think of one time, he was in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. It's in Harisori's book. And he was obviously close to leaving his planet. And then the chanting was going on in the temple room. Prabhupada was hearing it, and he went into spiritual trance hearing it. So advanced devotees, they're able to appreciate the spiritual Mahamantra coming from sources that maybe less advanced devotees would think, well, that person's not very pure, his chant has no potency. But actually that's maybe our fault. If we don't see potency in the holy name, maybe that's our fault as well. So that's an aspect there. And I think I particularly noticed Prabhupada had such a high appreciation of the chanting and the katha of his disciples who'd only been in the movement for several years, because he was accessing something that he saw something that we don't maybe see. So it's kind of encouraging to know that if the Mahamantra is actually Krishna, I mean, we say it's Krishna, right? Kali Kali Nama Rupi Krishna Avatar. Or Mahaprabhu, he says, no, I'm Prabhupada, he said, Bhagavatar Kata Se Taba Avatar, in his Markandeya Bhagavad Dharma bhajan. He says, the Kata is your avatar. Krishna's descending as Krishna Kata. So if Krishna Kata is going on all around us, we just have to wake up and think, oh, that's actually Krishna. And then we're solved. It's problem solved, you know. We get that association. Just some thoughts. But of course, some devotees are so advanced that when they speak, it just has more potency. It's there. It's definitely there. Prabhupada would say, you're not this body. Some people would actually experience an out-of-body kind of existence just from him saying that. But if I say, you're not this body, and everyone's thinking, it doesn't make any difference. Maybe you're already off the platform anyway. But anyway, just some thoughts. Hare Krishna. Anyone want to any comments or corrections, any additions? It's time for prasadam. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Bol.
His Grace Govinda Prabhu ki jai.
Samaveta Bhakta Rinda ki jai.